Pe-n Betliam, pe-n Betlisem, ai Betlehem, o să-i luăm, ai în plen, ai în plen, ai în plen, ai în plen, ai în plen.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In Ephesians chapter 2, we've seen several things now. And we look back in verse 7 that it says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And keep on reading here, and it says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're to do certain things after we get saved, not to stay saved or not to be saved, but because we are saved. And we are his workmanship. He wants to do things through us to let other people know about him. And remember, Jesus came to bring honor and glory to the Father, the Heavenly Father. And just as he came to give honor and glory to the Heavenly Father, we're to carry that on. We're to bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father. And we can do that because we are Christ's workmanship, it says, for we are his workmanship. And when we think of this, we're thinking of God. And especially here, let's think of God the Father, for we are his. That's God the Father's workmanship. How can we do that? Because we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that's God the Father, hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." This is speaking, of course, of the Jewish people. The circumcision and the uncircumcision, of course, are the Gentiles, according to verse 11. And we were called uncircumcision because we know that going back in the Old Testament and studying the Jewish laws and the commandments given by God to the Jewish people, that the Jews were to be circumcised. Well, no such commandment was ever given to the Gentiles to be circumcised. And so therefore, verse 11 is plain. It's the Jewish people. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." We are no longer considered Gentiles. Now, we are Gentiles according to this world, but according to God's world, according to what God says, there is neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. In other words, there's neither bond nor free, those who are held in bondage, free, those who have been set free, Jew or Greek. That word Greek means Gentile. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Well, verse 12 goes on to say that at that time you were without Christ. These people talked to us. They talked about us. The Jewish people did. They called us the uncircumcised because at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. When I think of this verse, I automatically think of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8, because it says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which are by nature no gods." Well, just as the Jewish people worshipped gods, these gods were really no gods, but they put things before God. You remember when Moses went up on the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, the people got restless, and so did Aaron. And Aaron made a golden calf. He took all of the gold, the gold that the people brought, and he cast it, and he formed it into the shape of a calf. a golden calf, and the people started worshiping that. Well, that wasn't pleasing to God. And we know that that gold was ground up, and these people, it was placed in the water. And it's something to think of, that to people drank this, they started dying. And but God, there's that word, but God again, those words. God intervened and stopped the death that was going on there. And Moses had a big part of that. He prayed to God, and he asked God to spare people, and God did. But these people served things actually that were no gods, and that's the way Gentiles are as well. There's people today who worship trinkets, they worship idols, they worship pictures. And I made mention of this the last time, that there are people who look to other things other than the true God. And we think of this as we think of people who count beads, those people who look at a crucifix hanging on the wall. And I made mention, remember I said the last time, remember I said about the cross. We're not to worship the cross, but we are to worship the one who had been hung on that cross. We're to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If you worship the cross, then you're worshiping the electric chair. In other words, a thing of death. That is the cross. And when we think of it, we're not to do that. But we're to worship the one who hung on that cross, and that person is Jesus Christ. Well, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8 again says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." Did you know that after you get saved, you can still worship something that is not God? Now, if you place anything above God, then you're saying that you have other gods. You are worshiping something that is not God. Some people put money above God. They would rather have money. You say, well, how can they be saved? Well, they're saved the same way that anyone else is saved, and that is by trusting Jesus Christ. But sometimes people get confused and they get carried away. Now, it's for sure that we must take care of our families. We must live. We must make a living. But if we place anything, if we place that above, that is making a living or getting more and more money, if we place that in front of God instead of serving Him, let me put it this way. If you have an opportunity to serve God, and by the way, there's all kinds of opportunity to serve God, but if you have that opportunity and you're not serving God, then that means you're placing something in front of Him. You need to be serving God. And if you're not serving God, if you're letting something stand in your way of service to God or service for God, then that is a God to you. And that's wrong. You need to get rid of that. You need to quit worshiping something that is not the true God and serve the true God. Well, verse 13 of Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now, who is it speaking of here? It's speaking of the Gentile people. We were afar off. Verse 13, talks, and you know, we go to the book of Acts and we read chapter 2 and verse 39. It says, "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Well, how many people, how many does our Lord call to salvation? Well, John chapter 12 and verse 32 says, and Jesus speaking, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Not just a few, but all men. In other words, all's not going to be saved, but he says, what he's speaking of here, he's going to draw all men. He's going to let all men, and this includes women, this is speaking of mankind, he's going to draw people to him, and they must make a decision one way or the other, either to accept him as Savior or to reject him. Well, notice the first part of John 12 and verse 32 again. He said, "And I," this is Jesus, "if I be lifted up from the earth." Well, now we have some people who will look at this differently. Some would say that this is speaking, of course, of when he was resurrected and went back to heaven. He went back to the Father. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth. Well, when we think of this as well, we can look to the cross. Remember, do not worship the cross, but keep this in mind. He was lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up from the earth on the cross. And the important thing to remember here is this, whether it's speaking of him going back to heaven to be with the Heavenly Father, or whether he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. I personally believe he was lifted up on the cross, and that's what it's speaking of here. But no matter what, the important thing to see here is that he would draw all men unto him, not just a few, but he would draw all people unto him. A person will either accept Jesus Christ as Savior, or they'll reject him as Savior. I've met people before, and I've mentioned to them about getting saved. I've asked them, are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you sure you're saved? I've asked them in many different ways to get them to think and to realize that they're lost. They need a Savior. But sometimes these people will stop and they'll start thinking, well, I'm not going to receive Christ right now. I'm not going to make a decision for Christ right now. Whether they know it or not, and whether they realize it or not, many times I will draw this to their attention, they have made a decision. If they do not choose Jesus Christ at that time, then they've made a decision to go to hell. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty harsh, telling somebody they're going to go to hell. Well, I'm not telling them that. The Bible says that. The Bible says that a person who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, they don't have to wait to be condemned. They're condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They are condemned right then. And as they refuse Jesus Christ, as I would present him to them, or someone else would present him to them, if they refuse Jesus Christ, then they've made a decision not to go to heaven, but to go to hell. And we need to let people know that there is a real hell and there is a real heaven. And I found that many people will admit that there's a heaven, but some people won't admit that there's a hell. Well, there is a hell. And you and I who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to tell all people that Jesus saves. Well, notice in Ephesians chapter 2 once again now, verse 14. For he is our peace. Who is our peace? Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Well, who's this speaking of? It's speaking of the Jew and the Gentile. The middle wall of partition has been broken down. Well, there's a division. There was a division between the Jews and the Gentiles. But, and I've said this before, we are all one in Christ Jesus once we get saved. But he says in verse 14, hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Now I think of this. I think of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has that peace? Who has been justified by faith in God? Well, those individuals who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because the verse goes on to say in Romans 5:1, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have the peace of God, and that is to go through Jesus Christ by receiving him as Lord and Savior. And if you've done that, if you've trusted him, then you have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the peace with God that's necessary to be happy in this world. You need to be happy, and you need to be serving God today if you've trusted him as Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.